You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So I now have an interview with David Parker, and he's with us here live. And we're going to be talking about the new direction of the resource management system, with a review being put out recently by a panel suggesting to pretty much completely scrap it and put in two new pieces of legislation, a Natural and Built Environments Act and a Strategic Planning Act. So good afternoon, Minister.
Hi, how are you, James?
Good, thanks. So I'll get right into it. So firstly, how did the RMA get to the point where it is such a huge document?
Well, it's been criticised just about since it was passed back in 1991. Successive governments have tinkered around the edges, and they've generally added process alternatives and extra sections here and there, and through that process it's doubled in length. So it's become more and more convoluted, which means that it's more and more expensive to work, had more and more criticism, and despite the fact that it costs too much and it takes too long, it hasn't adequately protected the environment.
So if put in place these new acts, what would stop it from falling to the same fate that the Resource Management Act has had?
I think there's some lessons as to why the RMA didn't work as intended. There wasn't nearly enough national direction given under the RMA that was possible for governments to set standards to be expected, for example, of water quality, but they never were for the first, close to 20 years, in fact, more than 20 years. And so things were allowed to degrade. It had an effects-based regime that was intended to be to protect intergenerational outcomes so that we didn't hand on to our children a worse environment than we had for ourselves. But in reality, that was sort of like a salami being cut, and there would be a little slice taken off environmental values, and they would minimise the effects of that slice being lost. But over time, slice after slice after slice was taken out of the environment, and the environment was allowed to degrade.
So what about with... I'll move on to my next question. So if the recommendations are followed through on, will the process of consent have to happen for each piece of legislation or just once for overall?
The remedy, as you said, is to have two main pieces of legislation, a Natural and Built Environments Act, and that'll deal with both issues relating to the built environment, but also things like water quality and climate changing emissions, plus another piece of legislation called the Strategic Planning Act, which will sit above the NBA and also cover Land Transport Act, the Local Government Act and the Climate Change Response Act, so that we can have some decent spatial planning to get ahead of some of the pressures that are coming, so that we can plan wisely for things. In addition, there's a third piece of legislation which they're recommending, which is a Managed Retreat and Climate Change Adaptation Act. The first two pieces of legislation, I think, naturally would have to proceed in tandem, but I suppose you could do the third piece either with them or on a different track.
And if these recommendations are put into place, what would this mean for people like urban planners, where pretty much a whole portion of their job is based around analysing the RMA?
Well, we would be hoping to have less complexity. At the moment, there are over 100 plans in New Zealand. The recommendation is that we bring that down to 14 plans, and that each of those plans would cover all of the districts or the district councils that sit within that region. So we think that through that process there's likely to be more similarity between plan rules, which would help everyone implement it without degrading the environment. What other changes? Well, you know, there would be a change in emphasis from effects to outcomes, and those outcomes would have to be set in national directions set out by central government, which would then be required to be implemented by councils. So that would represent a significant change too. The third thing is there's a lot of cost and discord caused in respect of boundary disputes between people in urban areas where a house has been built. Is it too close to the boundary? Is it too high? And there's a proposal to use alternative dispute resolution techniques to deal with those issues rather than complex and expensive planning processes.
So as the if these recommendations are getting put in place and there's more streamlining, should these people who are, say, urban planners expect to have job losses because it means that it will be so much simpler for people to go forward with resource consent?
No, I don't think so. I think some of the backlogs that we've got in planning departments might be overcome. I think this is pretty sensible, and that whoever's elected in the next government, and you know, I hope the Labor Party will be part of the next government. It falls to us to look at the recommendations. The government hasn't taken a position on detailed recommendations, but individual parties are, and we've already said that we agree with the recommendation for the two main acts, that there should be more national direction, and reduce the number of plans, as well as moving to an outcomes rather than effects-based approach. So this will roll out over the next over the period following the election.
Okay. So building up to this point, how has the inadequacy of the RMA negatively impacted the environment?
Oh, well, the two most obvious examples of that are the decline in water quality. Even now, you know, 30 years after the RMA was passed, we've got more rivers degrading in quality than improving, according to what's called the Macroinvertebrate Index, which is a measure of the health of populations of those little critters that live in a healthy river. Now, you know, that's really a fail for the RMA that after all this time, river quality has continued to get worse. Similarly, the quantity of climate-changing emissions into the atmosphere, we've got that under control pretty much in electricity, but we've yet to get it under control in either transport or industrial heat. So you could say that that's another area which the resource management system in New Zealand has failed on.
So was there any consideration when this review was occurring to make sure recommendations were lining up with the Zero Carbon Act?
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why the Strategic Planning Act is put in place, to try and align outcomes under transport legislation with climate change responses. So both of those acts would be within the purview of that Strategic Planning Act. In addition, there are recommendations which are to bring climate change mitigation, not just adaptation, mitigation into the replacement for the RMA. In fact, with a recent amendment to the RMA, the current government's already set that in train. So that could have been achieved under the RMA, but is likely to be achieved under the replacement act.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the environment, and going forward, the panel has also recommended that Māori have a more effective role in decision making. So for Labor, what would an effective role look like within the system?
There's a range of recommendations there. They suggest that there be national guidance promulgated under the Act so that we have more certainty for Māori and others as to what are the processes to be adopted. There's a lot of uncertainty in that system at the moment. They also recommend a slight change to the treaty clause, and they also recommend a Māori governance group to try and sort through issues where they're not going well.
Okay, so what has the panel recommended in terms of weighing up the balance between making sure that there is sustainable development and the protection of, say, ancestral land and all the different factors that go into whether someone should get consent for building?
In respect of ancestral land, I didn't catch that. Was that in respect of Māori land in particular, or more generally, James? I didn't
probably
quite catch
more
question.
In general, like looking at the environmental impacts and sort of the social impacts that all of this had. Like, where's the balance looking at compared to where the RMA is currently?
The core of those current provisions sits in Part 2 of the Act. Those provisions have been rewritten by the panel with some suggested changes. It is still proposed to have an intergenerational environmental test, but recognising the failures that there have been under the effects-based regime which is provided for under the RMA, which looks at minimising the effects of an individual application, they're recommending that the system change to look at overall outcomes. And that's reference to that loss of environmental value, just with salami slice by salami slice, trying to effectively avoid the problem that we've had with cumulative effects not being properly remedied under the current RMA.
Okay, and are there any other comments you'd like to make?
Well, just that we would note that the prior government talked for 9 years about trying to fix this, and they didn't do it. In fact, they made the act longer and more complex. And you know, we take some pleasure in actually getting ahead in trying to fix this. We've never accepted the proposition that in order to have, for example, affordable housing, you have to degrade the environment. But you do need to have processes that are effective while you are protecting the environment. And we think that this will be a major step forwards.
Sweet. Thank you for talking with us today.
Okay. Thanks, James. Bye-bye. Okay,
bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.